The lighting guy at a concert is an artist? That's a question handled by a new book, Bulletproof I Wish I Was, The Lighting and Stage Design of Andy Watson by Chris Coates. Chris is the director of the University Art Museum at Cal State Long Beach.
Speaking with Chris Coates, executive director of the University Art Museum at Cal State Long Beach, and we're speaking about a book that somehow he found time to put together called Bulletproof I Wish I Was. What's the rest of it?
That's correct. The Lighting and Stage Design of Andy Watson.
So talk about the book, and when did you find the time to write it?
Well, the book, we're actually doing a book signing on February 11th at 7 o'clock at Fingerprints, the record store here in Long Beach, which is on 2nd Street currently, but moving to 4th Street. I met Andy Watson 2.5 years ago while Radiohead were playing at the Hollywood Bowl. And after seeing the In Rainbow show that evening, I thought it'd be an incredible opportunity for somebody to put Andy's work within the pages of a book. Andy Watson has primarily worked with the band Radiohead since the very beginning. And the arc of his career is incredible in that it echoes and references so much towards the art world and the light and space work of really of California from the 60s to the present. And so Andy and I met several times and discussed the framework for the book. And we managed to secure Chronicle Books in San Francisco to be the publisher. The book is 350 pages long, and it documents all of Andy's work with Radiohead, but also with work with other bands. He's worked with Oasis, Arctic Monkeys, Counting Crows, Zazie, and a number of bands. So the book is really examines all of his work with these particular rock bands, but more importantly, I think, puts his work in the context of fine art. There are three essays in the book. I wrote one, which looks at his work within the history of lighting, rock and roll lighting. Fiona Rageb wrote a book, wrote an essay that puts his work in context really with people like Dan Flavin, Bob Irwin, Larry Bell, Anna Veronica Jensen's, Irwin Reddle, an incredible piece. And then Dick Hebditch, who's the cultural theorist who now teaches at UC Santa Barbara, wrote an incredible piece about how Andy's work fits into the history of sort of rock and roll and technology.
Now, some folks may think to themselves, when did a lighting guy get into the same class as fine art? But I mean, you talked a little bit about that, but expound on that a little bit more.
Well, I think that today disciplines are, there's a great blurring of the boundary between disciplines. I mean, architecture, TV, gaming, animation, fine arts, architecture. I mean, there aren't such siloed disciplines as they once were. And, you know, somebody like Andy Watson, who spent his time going through college and studying light, also would then have seen the work of Dan Flavin and Larry Bell and Robert Irwin. And I don't think that it's a long shot to see how these people in the art world would be influencing those in the rock and roll. But the In Rainbow show, which was really an incredible LED forest that were these very 50-foot-tall grid of LED lights that was not unlike the lightning field that we know about in New Mexico, the land art. But then also references these incredible pieces of contemporary artists like Irwin Reddle, who did a piece called Matrix. And I make specific reference in the book between Irwin Reddle's work called Matrix and Andy's work. But then you look towards film too, because there are references towards 2001 A Space Odyssey. There's references to that. You even can go back to German Expressionism, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. There's references to Andy's work there too. So the book really draws upon film references, art references, and really sort of culture. It puts his work in a much larger cultural sphere.
Just in terms of the significance to people who are not art aficionados per se, what is the significance of this book?
Well, this is the first book of its kind to take a guy who does rock and roll lighting and see it in a much broader, wider context. And I think the point of the book is to sort of pull apart and expand what the possibilities are for all of us working in the cultural field. I think that there's room to talk about TV and architecture and gaming and film. And I think that we're looking at rock and roll or lighting design is not a far cry from what we do here at the museum. I mean, ideas of sound installations we're very interested in too. So,
and I think that's one of the things that there's almost been this split between those folks who see a lot of this as quote unquote popular culture, as almost as if it's a dirty word. But you're saying looking at that and trying to even split that into the art sense. Am I correct?
Well, I grew up in England in the late 70s. Grew up in England in the late 70s. And one of the first cultural experiences I had was seeing Pink Floyd Animals in 1977, where you went to a show that was not just about rock and roll, but it was about theater. You had inflatable pigs flying over the audience. I also was very lucky enough to see the Pink Floyd The Wall show in 1980 in London. And again, that for me was the first time you began to see where the band wasn't really about, it wasn't really about them, it was about the theater of the concert, where they built a wall, flew airplanes, had giant puppets. And the book touches on Mark Fisher, who was the architect, the stage architect for those early Pink Floyd shows, who then went on to work with U2. So the book goes back and forth between early light pioneers like Mike Leonard, who did work with Pink Floyd in the very, very early days. And so, again, drawing references between theater and music and film. One of the first records I ever bought was Ziggy Stardust, which is, again, about, sort of gender bending or glam rock. And it's really, I'm interested in the way things go back and forth between and blur the boundaries. There aren't, so the fuzzy areas of culture, I think, are very interesting to look at.
The book signing is again where and when, and if people want to get more information, where can they find it?
The book signing is at Fingerprints, February 11th, which is a Friday night at 7 o'clock at the Fingerprints' new location on 4th Street. There will be signed posters to give away, and these are will be there. And you can buy the book through the University Art Museum for the next 6 weeks before it goes globally to Amazon and all those other various sites. But like I said, it's an incredible book. It's one of its kind. I should mention that the foreword was written by Thom Yorke, the lead singer of Radiohead. It's the first project he has ever endorsed outside the band. So it's an incredible privilege to have Tom's words as a part of the book. And I think Radiohead fans will find this a very attractive piece of work.
Thank you very much. The book signing again is Friday, February 11th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Fingerprints Music's new location, 420 East 4th Street in Long Beach. The title of the book again is Bulletproof I Wish I Was, The Lighting and Stage Design of Andy Watson by Chris Goetz, director of the University Art Museum at Cal State Long Beach.